Our scripture today comes from Psalm 71, verses 17 through 24. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to all the generations to come. Your power and your righteousness, O God, reach the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who was like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy, which I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have rescued. All day long my tongue will talk of your righteous help. For those who tried to do me harm have been put to shame and disgraced.
Maybe it's appropriate. I feel like the guy who's out front on the band introducing the band. I've been alive forever, and I wrote the very first song. I put the words and the melody together. I am music, and I write the songs. I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love and special things. I write the songs that make the young girls cry. I write the songs, I write the songs. So the song begins, and later continues. My home lies deep within you, and I've got my own place in your soul. Now when I look out through your eyes, I'm young again, even though I'm very old. Now you may or may not like Manilow, but this particular song does speak a little bit to the depth and the intensity that songs and that music in particular have upon us. They inspire us to do wonderful things sometimes. They can bring us to tears. Tears of sorrow and tears of joy. Can they not? They can make us laugh or dance. But even more importantly, especially as music that we have heard today, they can help us connect with God in ways that prose simply cannot, and express things within us and from our souls that otherwise are inexpressible. We have heard beautiful music from both the organ and the piano today. We have already sung a song of praise to God. And by the way, at the end of the service, after the youth choir sings St. Patrick's prayer, I would encourage you to remain standing for the postlude, a piano duet of the Hallelujah Chorus. And so now we come to a few minutes of reflection. Brian, would you like to take the clock and turn it back another 10? No. Just kidding. As I thought of this particular message and of the piano dedication a number of weeks back, I thought about various passages in the Psalms. Of course, the first one that came to mind, make a joyful noise to the Lord. But I also thought about how sometimes our songs of praise to God change over time. Do they not? And how sometimes they are often quietly sung. Maybe not even openly, but within our hearts and within our minds, as we are reflective of God's presence, and not just when we feel upbeat, not just when we feel great, but very often, those most meaningful songs, expressions of music, come when we have been in those low times or times of uncertainty. I also was reflecting upon how we find and express our religion in the songs of the soul. Bet you thought I was going to say songs of the heart, didn't you? In the songs of the soul. As we grow older, as we mature in our faith and our relationship with God, those songs sometimes change and even become much more meaningful. And so here we are in the latter portion of a psalm that expresses both the continuing need of God's help in the face of adversaries or adversity, and ultimately a statement by the psalmist that God will continue to be praised and song will continue to issue forth in all circumstances, not just those that are good, but in all circumstances. Why? Not because we're so great and wonderful, but because, the psalmist says, because of a lifetime of relationship with God. Now, if you look a few verses prior to our focal text, you will see something of the writer's humanity in his call that those who have spoken against him and have sought his downfall would suffer public disgrace. We've said over and over again that the Bible really doesn't sugarcoat. We sometimes sugarcoat it, but the Bible doesn't sugarcoat. And especially in the Psalms, we see the whole gamut of human emotions and reactions. And we find that even here. In the ancient Near East, public disgrace was sometimes seen as just about worse than dying, because you are publicly disgraced and then you have to live with it, and you have to live with all the when you walk through the town square or when you're seen out somewhere. We've mentioned before that the woman at the well in Samaria comes in the middle of the day so that she doesn't have to be around all those other women who will talk about her and point at her. And in his all too human frailty, the psalmist wishes that his enemies would suffer just as they have treated him. I'm reminded of a while back when I shared a brief example, and it came to mind again the other week. My colleague Chris Pratt, one of his daughters, got in trouble at school for treating one of her classmates, a boy, in kind of a mean fashion. And Chris, fellow religion professor, said to her, "Why did you do this? You know the golden rule. Bless you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And she said, "I know, Daddy. But he was treating me mean, so I thought that's how he wanted to be treated." Sometimes in our human frailties, we do those kinds of things. However, whether or not that happens, he quickly turns and expresses continual hope in God, followed by a promise of praise. Even though he has suffered, and he's not sure if they'll be publicly disgraced or not, he continues to talk about singing praises to God, issuing forth music from the soul. As we come to our focal verses, about time, right? As we come to our focal verses, he calls upon his past experiences, good and not so good. He reflects upon a lifetime that has had some good times and has had some bad times. His life that has been filled with a lot of ordinary mundane times as well. And he still proclaims God's wondrous acts in the good and in the bad and in the mundane. In verses 17 through 20, in fact, he recalls how God has taught him many things from my youth. Notice he's not just pointing to the positive things, because in verse 20, "You who have made me see many sore troubles will revive me again." He says that God has made him see some difficulties as well, experience those things. It's a reflection of a typical Israelite idea that God either brings trials or tests and punishments, or God allows those difficulties so that we might be tested and learn. Edwin Poteet states that what the psalmist says in recognizing that there must be difficulty and darkness for there to be good and light within life is much like an old Arab proverb, and I quote, "All sunshine makes a desert." End of quote. And not just a physical desert, but sometimes a desert of commitment and a desert of experience with God. The psalmist expresses here what those who are older have learned about life and God's presence throughout life. From youth, he says, "I have been taught to praise you no matter the situation, because you have done so many things for me." The result of that reflection must be praise. In spite of the fact that there have been difficulties, he has also recognized that even in the difficulties and even through the difficulties, God has been present to lead him and to guide him. And that issues forth in a promise to sing, a promise to bring praise unto God. Praise that brings honor to God. And with God's raising his spirit, the psalmist himself feels honored. You know, if you really think about it, we should feel honored. Not just in the good times, but we should feel honored that God cares about us in those difficult circumstances as well. And we should be honored to be his. As he has learned these things in a long life, because he talks about his old age, he doesn't think that in his old age he can just sit back, though, and rest on his laurels or on the laurels of God. No. He has lived a long life, and as he reflects upon it, warts and all, he declares that his life is good because of God. And because of that, he promises. He makes a covenant with God to continue to praise him, to play music on beautiful instruments in song to God's glory. Not his glory, but God's glory. And to continue to sing from deep down within his own soul. Petit on verse 22 and following writes, and I quote, "What is reflected is a state of mind, an attitude that has become habitual. Lyre and harp engage the fingers. Lips form the melody. Tongue all day speaks the confident word. These all distill the pure essence of his faith and condense it into a final word of devotion. It is devotion that keeps his spirit young and keeps his faith secure." As poetry brings on the mood of youth, religion is thought to be the mood of maturity. When it captivates the young, it does so largely by its dramatic qualities. Yet it takes experience and reflection to establish religion in mature patterns that can survive the instabilities of youth or the shocks of adversity. End of quote. And that's what the psalmist is expressing here. That sense that in his youth, yes, he was taught these things and he was caught up in the dramatic, the poetic, the excitement. But he also found that life is not always lived in that moment of bubbly excitement. And in adversity, and in the mundane, day-to-day, everydayness of life, he has come to experience a maturity that allows him, with God's help and with confidence in God, to sing songs of praise through and beyond the difficult days. Psalm 71 is not just the prayer of an old man. It's not just his final will and testament, though it could serve as a good model for one. It is a testimony of a growing, maturing, and trusting faith, grown and matured over and through a lifetime of living with God through thick and thin, recognizing that God is continually present, sometimes even pushing and prodding, but always seeking and guiding us to maturity of life and maturity of faith. A maturity that comes out of relationship with Him. It is this life, lived with God, not just somewhere out there, but in our world, which touches deep with our soul, and which writes the songs of the soul that are much deeper than we can ever express in any other fashion. I think the psalmist would agree that as we reflect and as we grow in our maturity with God and then share that with others, we are to let the music flow in a lifetime of praise and song. As we mature in our faith-filled life with God, and as we bring the music of the soul into a world that is in need of that good news. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank You. We thank You that when sometimes we cannot express things in our own words, the music that You create with Your Spirit within our own hearts and souls can reach not only within us, but to You. Help us to be more attuned to that leading so that our lives might truly reflect music and praise of the Spirit. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. If you would take a hymnal and turn with me to hymn number 572, Blessed Assurance. As we stand and as we sing, may that truly be our thought, our praise. Our altar is open for any decision that you might make. Hymn number 572, Blessed Assurance.